There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you having sex?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? Put your seatbelt on. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I like these cameras because it helps when the light goes on. I'm like a little cat and I know where to look. We're in Mike's studio today, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Sorry, we're allowed to say the name, or is it still this slow ass burn that you're trying to work on?
You can say the name.
It's
the network.
Slickback Studios. You know, when you get all the jizz in your back and it's real slick, that's how he named that.
Yeah, that was the inspiration.
From his life experience.
Oh, I thought it was an Italian slur.
I mean, you could pick a number of reasons why we could have named it Slickback Studios. None of them are, they're all gross.
Also, and Mike in his neon sign is smoking a cigarette. I've seen Mike maybe smoke 2 cigarettes in his life. He's like trying to make a cooler persona
than
he actually
has. Oh, I didn't notice that.
It's not necessarily me.
I was going to say, that's supposed to be you. It's a pompadour on a fucking guy. It's definitely you. It's definitely you.
It's like Johnny Rocket.
Yeah, it does look like Johnny Rocket.
I think Johnny Rocket was actually the artist in
Oh my okay. God. I would love a plate of fries and then ketchup in a smiley face formation right now. I'm craving it.
Oh my God. I want a Friendly's Conehead Sundae with the M&M's. Oh,
I always want to be at Friendly's. Yeah. Friendly's, I don't like
it. It slaps.
It's so good.
I've never had a bad meal at a Friendly's.
It's the
honey
real
mustard?
Neighborhood spot. Mm. Like, it's not Applebee's. It's Friendly's.
I was going to say, fuck Applebee's.
Yeah. But Applebee's is a much bigger chain. Friendly's is regional. A lot of people don't even know what a Friendly's is.
That's
true. Sorry.
Sorry
for your loss.
Yeah.
Sorry for you never had, actually.
Sorry you're never going to experience Friendly's or Wawa.
Oh,
that
my God.
That sucks for you. That really sucks for you.
Oh, Friendly's. Whew.
If you want to email us, the email address to send that email to is sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Speaking of cats, today's subject line. My boyfriend wants me to get rid of my cat, and I think he might have OCD.
Wow.
Hi, Corinne and Christina. I've been listening to Guys We Fucked for about 6 or 7 years, and I love it so much.
Thank you.
I value your opinions, and I have a problem that I don't know what to do about and would love your advice. I, 25-year-old female, have been dating my boyfriend, 27-year-old male. Dump him for 6 months before we even started dating.
6 months?
Before we even started dating, he told me that he was allergic to cats and dogs and that he, quote, likes spaces a certain way.
Oh, he's weak.
And... or OCD, and therefore would prefer not to live with them. He knew I had a cat, and I told him that if it ever came down to him or the cat, I'd choose the cat.
Yeah.
Good gal. Mm-hmm. So I was very clear from the start.
Yep.
About 2 months into dating, he asked that we talk about the cat thing. Mm-hmm. Please keep in mind that we have not moved in together. I mean, I hope not. It's 6 months. And are not talking about it for the immediate future. Mm-hmm. He expressed that he was hurt that I took such a hard stance. Oh, you're right. He is weak. I told him that I really couldn't see myself getting rid of my cat for him. I mean, yeah.
That's a family member. That's your fucking pet. Insane.
I've had the cat for about 3 years now. I'll give the shit if you've had the cat for 3 days.
Yeah.
And we are very bonded. Even if the cat sucked, you're not getting rid of that cat.
Yeah.
But I agreed to relent and consider it for the future.
Oh.
Oh, you dumb bitch.
Yuck.
He suggested I give her to my parents. Oh, how kind of him. Then he told me about a month later that he was drawing a hard boundary and did not ever want to live with a cat. Wow. I was very frustrated because he just told me that he was hurt by my hard boundary and I was confused. Yeah. So he's doing that thing where, oh, you hurt me. Oh, I'm going to hurt you now.
Oh, God.
What do I do? I'm embarrassed about it. Since he's been visiting me, he hasn't had much trouble with allergies.
Oh,
liar. He doesn't sneeze or get itchy. Or get itchy eyes. Sometimes he has tiny hives on one localized spot on his body that go away within 30 minutes.
How are you getting horny for this guy? Well, this is a weak man. Well, this is what they talk about on like Tradwife TikTok. This is the guys they're fucking talking about.
Oh,
exterminate
yeah.
him. Get him out.
I was introduced to Tradwife not that long ago. While still in my apartment with the cat. Okay, so his allergic reaction. I broke out on a rash immediately and couldn't breathe, and I still slept with my three cats as a child.
That's fine. You're a woman. You're allowed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. She is also the sweetest thing ever and doesn't scratch or anything, do anything bad, but he claims he is very itchy.
We literally don't need any details about the cat miss. We're going to be on the cat's side regardless.
Then he began to pressure me to make a decision. Agree to give my cat to my parents in the future or break up. Jesus.
It's pretty easy.
Sounds like a fun guy. I told him that I wasn't ready to make that decision and wanted to talk about it more, but he would get very frustrated when I brought it up. Then when I mentioned that all my friends think he should just try Zyrtec, which he refuses to do, he told me he was done. Oh boy. He broke up with me over the phone. I said, okay, and got on Hinge that night. Gal.
Amazing.
I felt like I had been manipulated and that there were a lot of red flags.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, he apologized and said he would try to work something out. I took him back because he agreed to go to personal and couples therapy with me.
Guys, you're 6 months in your mid-20s. There's no couples therapy. You just try someone new. This is insane.
It turns out he saw that I changed a photo on my Hinge profile. Oh, so he was also on Hinge.
Oh, my God. He's controlling, too.
And realized he made a big mistake. I secretly think he broke up with me to force me to agree to give up my cat. This guy sucks.
Oh, God.
The way things stand now at 6 months, he has not agreed to try living with the cat in the future, and we don't talk about it much. Before he comes over, I vacuum everything.
Don't talk about the cat.
Wait, listen to this. Before he comes over, I vacuum everything, change the bedding, wipe my cat with Allerpet, feed her anti-allergen food, etc.
How good is this guy's dick?
I hope his dick is so bomb, girl, that you can't get enough of it, and he just takes you to Pound Town when he's over. See, you don't have time to talk about
your
fucking cat.
Wait, and you said there's photos here, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I gotta look at the photo after I hear all the bad things about this guy and then make a really visceral reaction.
I've suggested not letting her into the bedroom if we move in together, but nothing seems like enough, and he still won't take allergy pills, and I've yet to see another hive. I don't know that it's necessary that I hear him say he would try living with my cat in the future, but I would like to know that I'm not wasting my time. I mean, you are.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think he might have undiagnosed OCD. Nah, he's just a cunt.
Yeah, I have OCD. This is just a weak man who wants things his way. This has nothing to, please don't blame it on the OCD community. This has nothing to do with that.
But I am not a doctor, so have no business saying this. However, I'm wondering what Corinne thinks about this.
Yeah, no.
I've also asked him to speak with his therapist about this, but I don't think he has. I've attached photos of the two of us and also my cat.
I can't wait.
Thanks for in the, oh, okay.
I know I'm going to like the cat.
The cat's cute as hell.
Oh, that's a cute cat.
That's a cute ass cat. When I was little, my only safe space were three cats, and I was allergic to all three of them. And guess what, lady? I fucking slept in bed with them every night. And then you know what I did? I had my mom take me to the doctor, and I got allergy shots so I could breathe while sleeping with the cat. That's love, yeah. Baby.
This guy looks like a fucking cashier at Armani Exchange. Next. I'm good.
There you go. Yeah, this is crazy. You've already bent over backwards, and he's not giving you good future signs. You know, I think the way that you have an argument with somebody is really indicative of how pleasant your future together can be. And he's pulling out a lot of immature stops here.
Yeah. I think he just doesn't want cats because he looks like he has like a Euro trashy sense of style. And he's like very metrosexual.
And
I don't think he wants cat hair on his
turtleneck. Yeah. Yeah. And his leather jacket, which cat hair doesn't get on that. But yeah. This motherfucker.
A man in a turtleneck? No, thanks. I'm good.
What's wrong with the turtleneck?
No.
Wow. A turtleneck leather jacket combo, I actually
enjoy. I love that.
Yeah. I love that combo.
That's why we're not fucking, Mike.
Yeah.
No thanks.
And that's why we are. Oh, dropping a bomb. Yeah.
Everyone's going to believe that now.
Oh, really? We're not fucking. Sorry, 8 women on Instagram just got pissed at him.
Yeah. and one not on Instagram.
Oh, shit.
You know someone not on Instagram?
No, I meant like not a DM slider.
Right. You know somebody not on Instagram?
Right. I was like, I don't know if I trust 87? That person. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you're still with this guy.
Yeah. You got to. As Uncle Joey would say, cut him out.
Yeah. It's like, why are we spending so much time on this guy?
Why didn't hang out with your cat instead?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not worth it.
I suffered so much, and I still slept with my cats because I loved them, and they were the only creatures that gave me love as a child, and I needed that, and I got allergy shots, and I did it, and I was a child.
I was going to say, I was like, you can get a series of allergy shots.
Yes, and I can be around cats now forever. Yeah. So what are you doing, sir? It sounds like he'd rather be right than find a solution.
Right, because Harrison is also allergic to cats, and his wife, when they met, he had a cat, and the cat's still there, and they're married now. So
there you go.
It can work out. Does the cat spend a lot of time in another room? Sure, but they have a house, so.
I would say if it's true love, it could survive a cat.
Yeah.
And if it's not true love, it can't survive a cat.
Yeah.
And baby girl, this ain't true love.
Yeah. It's also weird that he's allergic to both cats and dogs. That's, I know. That's rare.
That is rare.
I don't believe it.
I actually know one of my good friends is. It's the any animal danger. Like, she can't go near horses either.
Right.
Like, just animals in general.
Right. Well,
but she didn't get allergy shots. So I'm wondering if he got allergy shots. But honestly, I don't want him to get allergy shots. No. I want him to fucking walk around in his stubborn ass life and then get one hive in one designated place for 20 minutes and live with that suffering.
Yeah. I think you should say that you have started an allergic reaction to him, and then also he dumped you. The wishy-washiness, the talk
none of this is sexy.
Talk of couples therapy at the age you're at, under a year, is absurd.
Mm-mm.
Absurd. Mm-mm. Unnecessary.
Thank you. Next.
It's an overcorrection of generations prior who refused to go to therapy. This is an overcorrection trying to go to therapy when you're just actually incompatible.
Yeah, man. And that's so much wasted effort. You could be doing so much with that effort, like in your time. You just be watching some show on Netflix. That's a better spending of your time.
Imagine how much cat scoop stuff you could. What is that called?
Kitty litter.
Kitty litter.
Oh yeah.
Oh, get the glitter kitty litter
stuff.
You should break up with them in a fun way. Like, take a bag of your cat's poop and put it in a bag and tie it. You know, don't be an asshole. And then give it to him and say, "I'm throwing you out with this cat poop. Sorry, guys.
Bye,
go.
Bye, bitch. Fresh away." Is that a brand? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about cats.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day, and therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And you, honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time, because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Can we say save the date for December 1?
I guess.
Yeah, because we've confirmed it. All right, guys. So if you're hearing this, well, when you're hearing this, our October 19th show has already passed. And hopefully it's sold out and it was the best show of our lives. And the next one is going to be December 1st at Midnight Theater. So the ticket link is not available yet, but save that date, baby, because yeah, we're coming back.
And a lot of people were asking, we had to reschedule the November date because there ended up being a conflict. So if you're like, what happened to that November date? That's why it's going to be replaced by this December 1st date.
Yes. And if you want to hear more of us, I have my solo podcast is back. The Voices in Our Heads. It's back at Slickback Studios.
That's right.
Every Monday, episodes come out wherever you listen to podcasts. And pretty soon there's going to be a YouTube page because I'm going to make it one day, because that to-do list keeps staring me in the face and I keep not doing it. I'm going to do it, Mike. Come see us live on the road. I have dates coming up. Chicago. Shit, what are they? It's Chicago and Nashville, Tennessee. Chicago's going to be November 10th and 11th, and I'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. These are all at Zany's Comedy Club. Sunday, November 12th. Tickets are available at ChristinaHutchinson.com. And if you fancy yourself some group therapy, which the lady who wrote us, his boyfriend, might fucking need, I host it once a week on my Patreon, patreon.com/ChristinaHutchinson. I just do group Zoom. I call it Sherapy because am I a licensed therapist? Absolutely the fuck not. Have I read a lot of self-help books and been through hell and back? Yes, I have. So the audio from every Zoom session gets uploaded to the Patreon, and I had one yesterday and it was so, I'm really proud of people coming to the table with some real shit, talking it out, giving suggestions, feeling better, and really like kind of recalibrating how you look at something really can help you deal with it. So I've gotten pretty good at it. And a lot of people that come to these Zooms are really like well-informed and have a lot of good suggestions. So there's something to learn and it's super cheap. So sign up for it at patreon.com/ChristinaHutchinson.
And for me, you could see me live in New York. You can see me on Thursday, October 26th in Brooklyn at Old Man Hustle Brooklyn Comedy Club. That's an 8 p.m. show. It's a one-off of new material called Scary New. It's me, Ryan Long, Danny Polish, Chuck Lovefer, Chloe LaBranche, and John Campanelli running just some new material at Brooklyn Comedy Club. Ticket link is available in the link in my bio at Philanthropy Gal. And then also on the road, I have a 2024 date, which is Washington, D.C., D.C. Comedy Loft. That's February 29th through March 2nd, full weekend there. And then, of course, the next Gash is Wednesday, November 8th at 8 p.m. Again, I'm just telling listeners before I put it on Instagram, because then it'll be gone in 24 hours. But those shows are always fun. And that is a show exclusive to the Comedy Store. So everyone says, but do it here, do it there. It's not doing it anywhere else except for the Comedy Store. So if you want to see it, you got to be in Hollywood, Los Angeles, California to see it. We're going back again to the Wednesday 8 p.m. Slot because 10:30 was too late for L.A. It's the city that sleeps. You guys love sleeping.
I had a show at 10:30 at the Store. I hadn't been to LA in so long. And it was, I'm like, you guys.
Sold, quietest sold out show I've ever done in my life. I mean, Insane. Okay, guys.
If you're gonna come, have fun.
And I was like, it was. I gotta be honest. You started my birthday rough. Okay.
Ooh,
how can you be this? I was like, it was so funny. Like Suba actually gave him a talking to because she was like, Corinne put together a really nice show for you guys, and you're really not appreciating it. Nice. And I was like, Suba, I fucking love you.
She's great.
Okay. What else? Oh, and then of course, Without a Country, my news show. I mean, there's a lot in the news lately. I did hours of research and explained the whole situation between Hamas and Palestine and Israel on this week's episode of Without a Country. So if you want to kind of understand it in layman's terms before, you know, just blindly posting an emoji of the Israel or Palestine flag, I do recommend you do that, you know. But whatever, it doesn't matter. Or just don't take a hard stance. That's also a thing to do. Whatever you want. That's all happening on that episode. So I don't have to talk about it on any other podcast. Again, Without a Country, it's on the YouTube and it is on the Instagram. Check it out.
How you doing?
Good. Oh, you know what? I was listening to The C Word because it's the only thing that can get me to clean my apartment. It's the only time my apartment gets clean is when Alyssa Bennett and Lena Dunham were talking to me. And I had never listened to the Vampira episode, which is crazy. But I started listening to it in honor of Halloween. Very interesting. And Alyssa Bennett often talks about this theme of women who originate certain concepts never getting the credit, especially during their lifetime, of doing it. And I got to tell you, the story of Vampira is Guys We Fucked and Call Her Daddy.
Are you serious?
Guys We Fucked is Vampira and Elvira is Call Her Daddy.
Damn.
And you know what happens to Vampira?
She goes broke and no one wants to fuck her anymore.
She dies penniless. Yep. She dies penniless and
alone
and ostracized by her community. Ah! So yeah. I was listening to this and I was like, well, doesn't this sound familiar?
Wow.
Yeah. Basically Vampire wanted to do things her way. She created the character, this vampiric character that to host, you know, a late night show about scary movies. And then she wasn't doing anything the way, that they wanted her to do. And so they hired, Cassandra Peterson to play Elvira. And Vampira even actually tried to sue Elvira, and she lost.
Damn.
Yep. And so a lot of people, then turned their backs on Vampira because they're like, why are you bullying Elvira? And she was like,
oh shit.
This is like, I mean, I'm not saying that Cassandra Peterson did it, out of like ill intention. I think she was just like an actor who needed work. So it's not necessarily. So, I mean, I guess there was a Barstool Sports someplace here.
Need a hotter Vampira.
I don't know who that was. Yeah. And Vampira was pretty hot too. She was fucking, I believe she fucked Marlon Brando, Orson Welles.
Mm. Wow.
And she,
that pussy good.
What a range.
Who else did she fuck? Did she fuck Boris Karloff?
Jesus, good for her. She should host Guys We Fucked.
And I think she actually fucked a 21-year-old Elvis, they said too. Is that right? Like, on a timeline?
I'm searching.
Again, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is all, again, when you're, you know, we're clear. The Marlon Brando is 100% and the Orson Welles is like 100%. Or they were like, you know, they had very deep friendships and stuff. You know, they fucked. But yeah. It's she fucked a lot of interesting celebrities and also had a very, very interesting upbringing. You know, obviously, like, she created Vampira because she was rebelling against how she was brought up, very, you know, button up. And her mom, you know, made her work in like a tuna fish factory.
Sick.
And she was like, I forgot her real name, but she was like, you're this bitch and you work in a tuna factory. And she was like, fuck no, I'm Vampira. I'm going to go live my life and show my titties to people. And her mom's like, no, you're not. You're just a fish girl. And she's like, I'm more than that. And then she became more than that.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
But then she got trampled by a...
Listen, I mean, anyone who's really into like that genre is very familiar with Vampira. And Vampira does still show up on a lot of like horror merch when you go to like a, you know, Monster a Go-Go or something. Shout out, my favorite store in LA. Why did you move to a place that I'm literally never near? They're in like East LA now. Come on, guys. But Monster a Go-Go, hot store. It's like an independent Hot Topic. But yeah, she still does appear on stuff, but obviously culturally,
yeah,
Elvira much bigger.
Yeah.
Campier, a little sexier. Mm. More as not like sexier, like I like she is more sexually appealing, but like they vamped it up a little bit more. The
right.
titties a little bit more out, you know. Different time. A little she's you know, Elvira's a little more modern though. So
wow. Yeah. So it's, this has been happening since for decades.
Yeah. When I heard Alyssa talking about that concept of, on another episode months ago, I was like, that's a good point to make. That's like one of her favorite patterns to trace, you know, in pop culture history is the people that originate the thing very often do not get credit for it, are not remembered. So,
and I wonder if
tight everyone,
your brilliant idea is going to be scooped up by someone younger and hotter, and they're going to get richer off of it. I wonder if that'll happen more because of social media. Like if somebody's on the rise or they're not big yet and they do something really innovative and unique and you're already big, you could kind of just take it, or you already have some following, you could take it and fucking steal it and no one knows.
So. Yeah. It's also the problem is like being a little bit ahead of your time. So like even as successful as we were, it was still, you know, what we were talking about and podcasting as a whole was still pretty niche when we launched, you know?
Absolutely. I've been thinking about Pamela Anderson. I love that woman so much.
She's great.
And I loved when she went to
Paris Fashion Week without makeup.
Yes. I really liked that. I was like, damn, dude, that's a good move. And I thought about, you know, going to an event. I know we wrote a sketch a while ago about like the girl version of Jackass.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be like physical stunts of like stapling a phone bill to our tit. It would more be things that are scary for women, much like stapling a phone bill to your chest would be for a man. And one of the scenarios we came up with was going to a nightclub with no makeup.
Right.
And like and taking it one step further than Pamela took it and not even having a cute dress. Like like wearing like a shitty stained outfit. And how like that to me, that's like, you know, like a nightmare. Like, you know, I was at the ball and I look like shit and everybody looked good. And I was thinking, I'm like, I don't. If I went to an event with no makeup on, I couldn't relax.
Oh, really? I could easily do it, especially now at this age. Because I like so often I'll just be caught off guard and my young, vivacious friends will be like, you want to go to like a strip club? And I'm like, no, I'm in sweatpants and I have no makeup on. Sure. You know, like I just don't care anymore. It's
fine. No, that's good. That's the wiser way to think about it. But I'm like, well, I was trying to interrogate. I'm like, what about it wouldn't sit right with me? And it's like this, it goes back to people pleasery, I think, of like, I just want to look good. Like, I don't like not looking good. I want to look my best all the time.
Right.
You know, especially in an event like that.
Well, I had wanted to do a couple years ago, I guess the tour maybe that I had planned right when COVID hit. I was going to do an entire stand-up tour without makeup. And then I was like, well, I don't want to just bury my career, you know? Because the thing is, though, so, you know, you would think it would be an easier thing to do with us having a primarily female audience. And I was like, I actually think it would be worse.
Yes,
because they would be more judgmental about it.
Women are judgier. Absolutely. And it's like,
yeah, there would be pictures. There would be rude comments all over the internet. And so it's like, you know, we're kind of keeping ourselves prisoner to this.
But are we also keeping ourselves prisoner by continuing to wear makeup? Is what I was wondering, because you already saw my face with makeup. When you see it without, it's not vastly different, but like Pamela Anderson is goddamn gorgeous. Mm. But she looks like she's ill in these photos, like, you know, but not her like happiness and stuff. But, you know, I just know I wouldn't feel like dealing with people's, because there's so many jobs that I had, like 9-to-5 or jobs before we quit them to do comedy full time, where I would come in without makeup and just be met with horror.
I mean, I've done episodes of the podcast without makeup when I didn't feel like putting it on. I do shows regularly without makeup. I mean,
maybe the lighting is helpful, but I wouldn't feel like dealing with the reactions.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, should I just stop wearing makeup? And then I was like, nope, not going to do that.
Well, I think
I don't need a bunch.
But I think it would be kind of similar to the vampire thing. I think that if we started not wearing makeup, it would be ahead of our time and we would ultimately be ostracized by society because of our ugly no makeup faces. And then maybe in a decade or two, having no makeup on will be the norm, especially, sorry, Ronnie, by the looks of, you know, Gen Z as a whole. So
right,
we have a young person in the studio today. She can't even can't even hear. She can't even hear. I'm just trashing Gen Z. Not her specifically, though.
We've done worse in this studio, I think, to that generation. Who said worse?
I love it. I don't want to encourage Gen Z to dress any better. Okay.
Correct.
I love what you're wearing. That's why. That's
I
why
like the baggy pants.
You're just looking to ride this wave.
Well, that's why there was a gay gasp in the front row when I was doing stand-up yesterday when I said I was 38. And the guy go, no, you're not. He was like a guy in his early 20s. And I was like, no, that's just because you're used to Gen Z women who took a T-shirt out of the lost and found. Right. And I love that. I love that trend. It's good for everybody. Oh, my God. I love it. Please keep riding on it. We had crazy fat, low-rise jeans millennials did. Please.
Yeah.
Even when I was in my early 20s, I was never fit for low-rise jeans. That was not a thing I was doing. High-rise forever.
Low-rise jeans I wore in the seventh grade because I was in love with my teacher.
We weren't allowed to wear shit like that. We would get sent to the principal's office.
I did have a teacher. I want to say her name because it's so funny, but I'm not going to because that's rude. She was a math teacher. She looked Amish. She was not Amish, but she looked it. And she asked me what I was wearing, and she was like, "I can see your vagina." And I was like, "No, you can't.
I can see, like the she mean the outline or
I didn't know.
Oh, but it was so low that she was.
But
being...
she can't see my vagina. I'm like, you cannot see my vagina.
Right.
You could see my flat ass stomach.
Right.
She didn't like that comment.
No.
I was very mad. She called me and she said you're dressed like a slut. And I think that was the first time I ever got slut shamed. Low rise jeans.
Yeah, they're
by a teacher.
Teachers do start a lot of the slut shaming, and it's also weird. Like it's weird because there is this like you're like are you jealous of a 12-year-old? And I think teachers are.
Yeah.
And it's a little that's a
weird.
Little concerning.
That is concerning.
It's concerning.
Ugh.
Oh, it's because like I think that teaching in a school environment almost mentally puts them in a school environment again.
Oh, right.
And then it's like they're transported back to when they didn't get any male attention. But it's like, who the fuck wants the attention of fucking when I was in seventh grade? Well, maybe when I was in seventh grade, I did want the attention of seventh grade boys. But I quickly, you know, figured out that was not the way. Salvation.
When I was in seventh grade boys didn't exist to me. I'm like, I don't know who you are. Get the fuck out of my way.
There's
just wanted
this one guy. Shout out
teachers.
Greg Sino. He was pretty hot.
Nice.
Cool
hey,
name.
Greg.
I have no idea what happened to him.
I was into all the teachers and all my friends' dads.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's weird. guys, in November on Guys We Fucked, we are dedicating our episodes in November. This is an idea that we've had for quite some time that we're really excited about. We're focusing on men.
Yes.
Masculinity. It's going to be called Men,
a celebration.
And our interviews are just going to be focused on different aspects of manhood, of manliness, of masculinity from the perspective of men who have a lot of unique life experiences.
Men across the spectrum.
Yeah. What is a man? I don't know. I don't.
That's a follow up to what is a woman?
Yeah. Oh, getting deep.
Different angle.
Yeah.
Bit of a different angle on ours.
But I've had a lot of conversations with because I talk about this, a lot on the podcast because sometimes we'll get women emailing us about a guy that they're seeing who's doing some atrocious things. And so I always try to, just for my own mental sanity and to not paint men in a bad light.
Who would want to do that?
Not me. I have to remind myself and the audience, but a lot myself, that like there are some incredible men out there. And I've had conversations with my male friends the last couple months since we started talking about this idea about like, what does it mean to you? Like, be a man. What does that mean to you? And I kind of say, I didn't get a lot of straightforward answers. They were like, oh, I never thought about that. I'm like,
right.
Really? Because masculinity really affects men in kind of a detrimental way. Like it puts it's shamey. It's like the Catholic Church in a way. Like there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of shame to it.
Yeah.
I feel.
Well, I think there's like a lot of pressure to provide, not enough for anyone to actually be doing it. But
I mean, in the circles that we've run in, that's true. But I don't know about everywhere.
But the pressure. But
the providing thing is it's an irrelevant point at this point, like in 2023.
That's why they feel like they have no purpose, right? So I think a lot of the problem with like toxic masculinity is honestly like men feel like societally they don't have like, what is our purpose? What is our place? What are we supposed to be doing? Yeah. And it's just like, how about just be a decent person?
Yeah, honestly, your place can be a kind, caring, loving partner. And then if you have kids, a kind, caring, loving dad. And then also, like we've talked about a lot, you know, there's a lot of men, like particularly my boyfriend has a lot of friends. And I was blown away by that. And that made me realize how men don't have as many friends on average that women have. And they don't do friend hangs as much as myself and my female friends do. Have you noticed that?
It depends. I've had boyfriends who have a lot of friends and I've had boyfriends who don't have a lot of friends. I think that also like men need to be a little bit more creative with their gender roles, right? I think women got very creative with their gender roles much quicker. And men were like, if I don't provide, if I don't make money and fuck lady, what do I do? And it's just like, well, you know, sew or have a book club or drink a glass of wine.
Women start a garden.
Yeah.
Women, put your hands in the dirt.
Women had a lot of other options that we got to quite quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been watching a lot of sports lately just because when you have a boyfriend, you watch sports and war documentaries. And I'm like, okay, this sport, I like sports. I do get it.
We've lost her.
No. Yeah,
this is
a celebration.
Shocking.
We've lost Christina. No.
Well, rugby, my favorite sport. I mean, that's just truly, it's just a pile of Jason Momoas touching each other's butts is rugby. I cannot recommend it enough.
Outrageous that you like rugby and not football.
I know, I do like football. EAGLEX. Duh. Come on. I fucking love football. I've been watching football since I was like in middle school when I moved to Philly, back to Philly in middle school. And I do love, I fucking love sports. Sports are really fun. It's fun to cheer. And then also you think about like sports is, it's an ancient tradition. Like when we toured the Mayan ruins,
this
they talked about.
This is very different. I got to be honest. We've knocked sports for years on this show.
No, we have. We totally have.
I have to call ourselves out on this.
No,
I've never heard you say I love sports. We were even like, we pitched a show that was anti-sports.
It was called Anything But Sports. Yes. No, but meaning when I don't love it, like I'm not invested emotionally in any way in a sport. The only time I've ever been invested in a sport is the Eagles when they are, you know, go to the Super Bowl. I get really excited.
Yeah. But other than that, I love the Knicks. I genuinely love basketball and the Knicks, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, I'm not enveloped in the world of sports, but you know who I love? I love sport. I love that men have sports.
Yeah.
It's nice. Get together with your bros, fucking drink some beers.
But football's the problem is it ruins half of every weekend. That's my problem with it.
And Thursday.
I don't like when a guy, his mood changes when his team loses. Because when we were over Mike's and the Eagles lost the Super Bowl,
right.
I was like, all right, they lost. Okay, let's go.
Right.
Like, you don't, like, I don't, I dated a guy once who, like, if his team lost, he would just be solid the whole day. And I'm like, come on, stop. Mm.
That means he doesn't have anything else going on in his life. But yeah. No, I mean, that's why it's easier. I don't know that I could ever date a football guy again because I dated a football guy for a while and that was rough. That's much time.
You just have one team? Because some guys have multiple teams. And I'm like, just pick one. Come
it
on.
Was one team, but it felt like this team played more than other teams.
It's an interesting perspective.
I'm also, so is this team playing 2 to 4 games a week?
Or is he rewatching it? Because that's another thing guys do. They fucking rewatch sports games sometimes.
All the time.
But then you watch the game, you comment on the game, you text and call your friends if they're not with you while you're watching the game. And then you watch a bunch of dudes who used to play the game talk about the game you just saw and you're just as riveted. And I'm like, there, you could be doing better stuff with your time.
It's called the post-game recap. Thank you very much.
What
the game, there's a show where they talk about the game that just happened and they show clips from that game.
Yeah. That's why you can't remember important holidays or birthdays and shit. You're too busy reliving a game.
Listen, I knew I 100% wasn't a lesbian when one time a guy looked at his phone and said, oh, you got to see this play. And then went like this. And then I watched it. And I was like, man, I'm thirsty for that dick. Glug, glug.
Go team. Give me that dong. Give me that dong. So yeah, so we want to focus the month of November.
I forgot we were in the middle of a promo. Yeah. I just was.
on masculinity.
Just
and
the taste.
I would be curious. I would be curious. There's a lot of facets of masculinity that I would like to get into, but I'd be curious to hear from our male listeners, male identifying listeners. What does being a man mean to you?
Well, Christina, it means fucking dudes and not calling them back.
Yeah. Brah. But also, like, I'd be curious, like, what do you like about masculinity and what do you not like? Because I feel like every person in the world has masculine energy and feminine energy, but they have
except for that cat guy.
Yeah, he only has feminine energy. No, he only has cunt energy. Yeah. But we all have our unique balance of it. And so I think that I often see like really machismo guys completely deny that they have any sense of feminine energy. They're not outright saying that, but like they're, don't touch my butt, I'm not gay. I'm like, all right.
Right.
But I'd just be curious to hear from our male listeners about it.
Well, you said you've been posing the question, what is a man?
Yeah. What does it mean to be a man to you? What is the role?
But I don't know that I can, but like, so like if someone asks you, what does it mean to be a woman? what do you say? Cause I feel like it's just so different.
Yeah. I think when you ask that question and I think about it, I more so go, how do I lean into my femininity?
Right.
Not really maybe I posed the question wrong because it's like, what is a woman? No one knows.
Right. Because I feel like...
Tits.
I feel like when I think of what a woman is, it's a lot of qualities that I don't have. Like I'm just... I think of a big earth goddess with like a belly full of baby, very ethereal.
Yeah,
very,
long hair.
You know, Penn Badgley's wife.
Yes,
you know,
clavicle.
Midwife, clavicle. Long hair. Well, I do have the long hair now. I gotta say, having this hair this long really does. We get it, Mike. Having hair this long, he's tapping on his wrist. That's like back studios to let us know.
Our guest is running a little late, so it's
yeah. And I do feel a lot more feminine with my princess hair. Because I haven't had hair this long. I don't know, maybe like in 10 years, probably.
It's
like
a good
I think,
look.
When we started, guys like it because they go, oh, it tones down the abrasiveness. They can't hear me as much because the hair is blocking out some of the loudness of the voice, I think. Yeah. But it has been weird. Oh, a lot. Every guy has been like, oh, I love your hair. I love your hair.
Wow.
It's hair.
I like to pull it while
hair
I'm
so long. I love lady.
Long blonde lady hair with titties.
Long
give
blonde
me,
lady hair.
Give me that pussy.
Yeah.
I also think when I think of being a woman, I don't think much of the Mother Earth version. I think more of the divine feminine.
Right.
And to
yeah.
me, feminine is like the feminine, like very sexy and very, but the thing is like, and just like men, there's so many different types of women. There are women in the world that really lean into their sexuality that fucking reek it. And you walk into the room and you're like, who is that? You know?
Right.
Regardless of how they look, it's just a vibe that they carry that's very sexual. There's some women that don't give a rat's ass about what they look like, what they wear. They're a fucking engineer. They have kids and they're doing their thing. And I'm like, damn, she didn't buy into the crap that society pushed on her. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
There's just so many types of women. And there are so many types of men. It just doesn't seem like as much, but I say that because I'm not a man. So tell me, man.
Yeah. We'll meet them. We'll introduce you to a couple. Welcome to our neighborhood full of men.
Yeah.
Different types.
Yeah.
Different sets. Some short, some tall. Some skinny, some fat.
Some happy, some sad. Some smart, some not that smart.
Not smart.
All right, guys.
Our guest
is very smart.
Yeah.
She's lovely. She's a woman.
Yeah.
One of my favorite comedians. She's been one of my favorite comedians since I was like 19 years old.
Make sure to say that right into her face when she walks in.
She was like my first favorite comedian, other than Gilda Radner. Like
I've
my first...
liked you since I was a kid, and you were an adult.
I'm younger. No, I mean, people say that to us. When people say that to me, they're like, oh, I've been listening to you since I was like 18. I'm like, that's fuck. I don't know. I just think that's
oh,
I think
I like
great.
It. It doesn't bother me at all. No.
I love it. And yeah, she's one of the great stand-up comedians. And we're really happy to have her on the show for a second time. The first time was in L.A.
Yeah. And that interview was in L.A. That's
such
right.
a good interview. Ah,
she gives a great interview. And I just saw some of her new material actually in L.A. And I got very excited about the topics that she's speaking about.
Oh, yay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's one of those comics that can make me belly laugh till I cry. Like, she touches on exactly the shit that I think about, and I just really love it. And you're gonna love her too. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Guys We Fucked,
Nikki Glaser.
You can't decide if you're a seeker or a lover. Your city's big enough to make it undercover, so you just give and take.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Therapists are some of the most evil people I know. Hi.
Always the most.
We're here with Nikki Glaser.
The most fucked up person in your high school class is always the one that's like, I'm a therapist now.
Oh,
and
you're
like,
you're
oh,
so right.
Fuck, you're insane.
Yeah.
Nikki, we're so happy to have you back on.
I'm so happy to be here.
We were talking before we started recording about jealousy, a lot of great topics, but one of them that I was like, oh, it made me ponder and I wanted to save this for when we were recording, the jealousy thing. So you're a cuck. Would you describe that? Or
a cuck, like, I think infers that you like to be like in the corner tied up and kind of like, why are you fucking my boyfriend? Stop it.
It can include humiliation. Yeah.
It's, I don't like the humiliated part. I like the part of like, yeah, you can fuck him.
Yes.
Like, good. Nice. Try to get him away from me.
Yeah.
I want you to try to think that you're going to steal him from me. And I like, it's not about that. It's not about like, oh, little girl, I'm going to embarrass you or anything. It's there's that element to it. But I just find that it's like sexy to have. I realize I'm competitive and I want keep competing for my whole relationship the rest of my life.
Wow.
And to always feel like I'm winning. Yeah. And that's a really sad thing. Like, don't you ever feel safe, Nikki? It's like, I do, but I don't like feeling safe. I like feeling
boring.
Even with stand up, like, I realize sometimes I smoke weed intentionally before I go on stage because I want to feel anxious and I'm bored with feeling I feel comfortable now. And I want to feel like anxious again. I just talked to my doctor about it because I was like my psychiatrist because I'm trying to figure out my med situation. And I'm like, why do I seek out weed? Like, why is because I struggle with weed because it's like makes me feel great in the short term. And then the long term, it ends up like depressing me. And I feel like dependent on it. And it makes me feel dumb and all the things. And I'm like, why? And I figured out on my own as I was talking to him, I was like, I like the thing that people complain about, the paranoia you get, like the overthinking. I like that. That gets me to be like, I'm not doing enough. Like, okay, I need to work now.
And it's then a motivator.
It motivates me. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I've always felt such guilt about why I want to smoke weed all the time. And I'm realizing, no, it's just because I want to be productive and I want to feel better.
Yeah.
I have a lot of, cucking? Yeah. I think that's what we're talking about. I skipped therapy this week. This is clearly
jealous. This is the right place.
I really did.
But like, so you're not a jealous person, a jealous girl. Like I'm trying to write this bit about like, I never thought I was a jealous girlfriend until I dated a guy that other people wanted to fuck. Like I never dated like a hot guy.
That's so funny. And you always thought you were like so cool, but you were just dating guys that no one else wanted.
That's a great concept.
My boyfriend is so Irish. He's handsome. He's a singer. He's tall. Oh, like, I know your boyfriend.
Yeah, super handsome.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yes.
He's a dream to me.
Yeah, he's a musician. He's a front man.
He's a dreamy. Yeah. He's a dreamboat. Mm-hmm. And so, and usually, like in the past, when women would have my boyfriends, I'd be like, yeah, that's right. He's fucking sexy.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, get the fuck away. What are you doing?
Right. Shoot.
And I'm like, Christina, who are you?
Maybe it's because he's the one. You know, like maybe that's it.
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe you truly are threatened. Like, I don't want to say that you don't trust him. Is there a part of you that doesn't?
No, I do. No, I do trust him. We have a really good communication, but I'm like, it's more like it's internal on my end. I'm like, what is happening here?
Right.
But the only thing I can think of is, oh, you never dated a hot guy before.
That it's actually, there is a threat there because girls are coming at him even harder. That's interesting. That's, I think, part of why I want that. I want other girls to be into my boyfriend so that he has that value, where I'm like, oh, okay, I got a prize. I'm like, because I know I love him and he could look like whatever now and I'd still love him. But now it's like, oh, okay, he's still got a little trophy. Like I want, I like nice things. No, I don't even like nice things. I don't even know why I said that. I don't. Like I don't drive a nice car. I don't have a nice home. Like I just don't, I don't really.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram story. You're like, I want jewelry in the $50 to $300 range.
Yeah. And even that I felt like, what am I, I'm bougie.
I feel like that though.
I don't like nice things because I will lose them. Yeah. And my mom told me as a kid, like you ruin everything you get. That's not like I get,
me too.
I spill chocolate on things. Yeah. I eat Kind bars. It's spilling everywhere. Like I have fanny packs. Like I don't like nice things, but there's something about like the friends I keep, the people I associate with, like I want them to be people that everyone else goes, man, I wish I could be friends with that person. Like I like the people I'm around. It that elevates me. It gives me, I guess, sense of self-esteem.
Yeah. But those are things that actually are valuable though. Cause like I was saying the other night, I was like, I don't understand an expensive engagement ring. That actually pisses me off because it's a waste of money. And we just bought into it. We're all saying, yes, we agree that if he doesn't give you a very fancy ring, he doesn't love you. That would piss me off so much if my fiance got me like an expensive ring. I wouldn't like it.
Unless they could like really afford it.
Right.
Then it's fine. But if it's like what, 3 months of their salary or something, that's really reckless and a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
And most people can't tell the difference between like a fake thing and a nice.
I know.
Am I crazy? Like, do you guys have good taste? Can you tell the difference when something's like fine jewelry or from?
No,
like,
but I used to date a guy who was an actual jeweler and he could tell. So you need to be a jeweler to be able to tell.
Exactly. You have to be an expert.
So he studied it. Yeah.
Right. And was he always, did he have that little thing with him constantly?
He didn't carry it. Okay. He didn't carry it with but him. He had tell. It at work though. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know the difference between nice stuff and not nice stuff. Like as long as it's new looking, I don't know, and like kept nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, same. I think I've never cared about jewelry or me like either. A ring. And I only asked to see girls' rings because I just think that's the right thing
to do.
It's
like socially, yeah.
I asked too, but then when they show me, I'm like, oh, goddamn. I know. Sometimes I'm really like, nice. He does love you more than someone who doesn't get that big of a ring. Yeah, it works. And I would want that.
Yeah.
But historically,
it's also like, it's expensive because like in olden days, it was supposed to be like, you know, some kind of like a dowry. Like it's supposed to like
a dowry.
Be something that's worth something. So if he fucks you over, you have this money on your finger. But we've just carried it over. Like mostly everything about weddings, I think, is pretty archaic.
Yeah. And about property and
exactly.
ownership.
Yeah.
And,
so it's kind of just like things that were actually like providing security for the woman, but now it doesn't really matter. And I mean, I don't want to say most women, but a lot of women would give it back. I think there's like 50% of women who would give it back because it would be too emotionally hurtful. And then, you know, the other half would be like, I'm selling it. It's mine. Yeah.
Well, I've always thought it's weird that you like can't put a ring on that finger if you're not like... That finger is like my best finger.
I know. Mine's and a good finger.
So and I still so do. Slim. I put a ring on it, but I'm just like, I hope no one takes that seriously. Like, but that's so weird that that ring is just for women who are married. And you can't do it otherwise. And then I also think it and it's a sign to be like, don't talk to her.
Right.
She's taken. Like, right. This is my little, I put a stamp on her.
Yeah.
And then men.
Branding.
I think it's funny. I used to, was working on a bit about how men have to like wear rings when they get married because like women don't want to date men with jewelry. So it's like almost like don't fuck him. He has jewelry. So but I'm like, I think we need bracelets. To update it. We need to get that like, I was like, we should do like a wedding fedora. Like they just all wear a fedora everywhere or like a tank top or something. That's he's taken. Girls, don't talk to him.
He's got his wedding tank.
But
would you get married?
No, because I remember Ali Wong saying this to me once. She was like, we don't need to get married. We like are on stage every night getting attention all the time. Like most women don't have that. That's their day to be famous and like to get attention from strangers. And we don't need that. She went ahead and got married and had a whole wedding ceremony eventually.
Right. So,
but I do feel that way. I'm like, I don't know. Every time I do something big, like all my family gets together and celebrates it and watches it. I just feel like I would feel ridiculous. I'd be like, what did I didn't earn
all I
this.
Did was love this guy.
Yeah. I didn't work for this. I didn't write for this or I didn't work really hard. But I do think I've changed my stance on weddings and I do think women should invest in them a lot and like spend a pretty dime to have the best day of your life because it is the closest you'll ever get to feeling like a famous person in your life. If you're not a famous person,
The bride is
you are in being engaged. Like even the lead up, like I think be engaged as long as you can, because people, if you're someone who seeks attention from strangers, pregnancy belly and saying fiance and people going, oh, you're engaged. Like no one cares once you're married. No one gives a fuck about hearing about your life, but an engagement, you get so much attention. And then like your wedding, like, everyone comes together that loves you and says and cries about you. And
it's
it becomes
sick.
More than about like this union. People start just like, it's almost becomes like eulogizing. Like the next time people will do this is at your funeral. So enjoy this moment. Yeah. And then that's why people have kids. I think that's the reason people have kids quickly after they get married is because there's such a buildup. They have such a purpose. They're planning this wedding. They're trying to get married. Everything's building. And then
like
if there's
constantly
like,
on Molly. Yeah.
Yes. And then there's this
then
like
there's nothing.
They come back from the honeymoon and no one cares.
And it's like, oh, I'm just here with you.
There's nothing to plan. And here's just this guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same guy that before we got engaged that I was just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And now it's forever. And so it's like, what do I do next?
Well, that's the thing with engagement. Like you could like on Instagram, like people get so hyped no matter who, whatever the thing that the person is engaged to. And I'm like, did we all see the picture? Like, why are we excited about this? Anyone could have locked this guy down in the world.
It's not that impressive to get engaged and married. And I used to always feel like a failure that I didn't have a boyfriend or I'm not getting proposed to. And I'm like, it's because I think I'm kind of picky, maybe. Like,
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
I think I could probably have a boyfriend if I want. Like when I look back,
picky.
I used to be like, "You're such a failure that you can't get a guy." Or I didn't really. I look back at, and so if I just think if girls are listening, being like, "I've been single for a while," I just gave advice recently to someone that was feeling bad about like, I've never had a boyfriend, and I'm so and so years old, and it was like, you could have anyone can. It's not that hard.
Right.
You just have standards.
Yeah.
And maybe you've been more picky, or maybe you just don't want one and you're secretly, I think until like very recently, I just fell into that archetype of like women want to be in committed relationships and they're always wanting it and the guy doesn't. And I'm sad. And like my comedy fell into that. Like I was always just this like kind of scorned woman that like can't get a guy. And then I finally get a guy who's like, let's do this. And I'm like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, and right. I'm like, danger.
It was me all along. Mm-hmm, yeah. I was seeking guys like that. And I liked to tell the story where I'm the victim. But I was the one that was scared of commitment. I was the Chandler Bing.
Yeah.
I really was.
Totally. Wherever you go, there you are.
And I still am.
Right. Yeah. And I also think like you like to work really hard for things. And I think what we've learned, you know, in the 10 years doing this show is that the harder you work as a woman, a heterosexual woman in a relationship, the more it shoos men away. Like work less.
Yes. Yeah.
The hard work. Because when you work hard, that means the man has to work hard to show up for you. And that's not good. You're creating more of a challenge for the men with the way that you just are.
You are so right.
It's how I am. I'm like, if I could just be a little bit better, just achieve this one more thing, be this smarter, get my hair done this way. And I go, no, you're actually distancing yourself even more. You're creating a smaller pool. That's my therapist also yes-anded this, but I came to the conclusion by myself. And then I present, you know, PowerPoints in therapy.
Yeah, you like try
this,
hard.
This is what I learned. Yeah.
You prepare.
She goes, you're the only one who shows up and does their homework in like therapy. Syllabus. And I go, well, I'm paying for it. And it's only.
I wish they gave homework. I keep leaving. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, I just like think about it. And just a little bit. Revisit next week. And I'm like, we're not getting anywhere. Give me a fucking assignment.
Oh, I asked for it. When I first started with her, I said, I'm someone who really does well in like a school setting. So I was like, can you give me an assignment every week so that I can make sure that I'm actively working on what I showed up
That's
to do?
That's so good. Yeah, I'm going to start asking for that because I'm so just stalling out in therapy. I'm tired. Yeah.
Well, I feel like therapists too. Like I took a break from therapy. I was overdoing it and I was like, all right, I'm done. And I took 2 years off. Now I got to get back into it.
I dip in and out too, but you're so right about like the working so hard because it's true. I've worked hard in school and then at my career and then getting a boyfriend, like something that's had eluded me. It's like, why wouldn't I put the work in? And then, you know, I was really into this book that Whitney Cummings recommended to me. It was Getting to I Do, right?
Yes.
And then that whole gist of that book is like, stop trying, like, just act like you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And don't fuck them.
I said, yeah.
That's
the tough part.
That's the tough part.
With all areas of life.
Let them come in you. Yeah. Or around you or like in the same room
on
as
your
you.
Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, and trying is resisting in that way.
Right. It's like... It was just, that was a big eye opener to me. And it's so hard to fake that and to like not text back or like not be the first to text.
I don't think I could do it now still. It's a lot of mental gymnastics.
It is.
It's a lot of anxiety.
And again, but it is, that book helped because it was like giving an assignment. It was trying.
Because
it was like, it gave a rule book on how not to try, which is like what I needed.
Yeah.
Because I just can't be just naturally cool. Who the, like... I'm not.
Not me.
I'm never
not
gonna
me.
Be.
I'm thirsty and for like life.
Yes,
you are thirsty.
And I'm so thirsty. I'm thirsty to see a ghost. That's why I'll probably never see a ghost.
Oh my God. You want to see a ghost?
Yes. I'm trying to talk to them. I'm trying to train to be able to talk to ghosts
to
be a psychic medium.
That's so cool. You can train to do it. I guess you can because it's there. You just need to tap into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. There's Arthur Findlay College in England that has 6-week programs. Yeah. And you can do online courses. But like, I see this. I'm like, I'm really thirsty for aliens too. Like, I just want, and I'm like, why? Why isn't this happening? And then I'm like, this is because I want it too bad. They're fucking ghosting.
Yeah, you need a Getting
me.
To I Do for ghosts.
Yeah.
But don't fuck them.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad that the ghost, I was so scared of ghosts as a kid and aliens that I think I made an agreement with myself. Like, they don't exist because if they do, you're fucked. Like every, I have to stay alone in hotel rooms every weekend, like, you know, all the time. I would be so scared all the time.
Yeah.
So I've convinced myself, now I know they exist because Tyler Henry,
celebrity medium. I love Tyler Henry.
Every single episode of his show. He's literally he's been the only thing that has convinced me there's an afterlife.
Right.
So Lauren, I didn't believe in God until him.
Yeah. Really? Yeah,
no, I liked it. I mean, I believed in like, this, obviously this isn't random how this all happened. Right. Something created it, but I didn't believe in an afterlife and like spirits and realms until Tyler Henry, which is so funny that a Netflix show where this guy, you know, but he's just so legit to me.
Yes.
And I just know now that it's like, I'm grateful it's something that I can't see and ghosts don't want to talk to me because I'd be so scared. Well, I don't want to see an old man.
They're mostly nice. They're
Confederate
not mean.
Gear, like sitting on the edge of my bed looking at me in the middle of the night. That's so scary. You want to see that?
No,
you
want to
wash your
that.
Face and then look up and go, ah! Like, you want to be like,
I don't know. There's this thing, like, whenever I go to a haunted house, I get like really horny. Maybe it's, I don't know. Like, okay. I'm just, it's not a horny thing, but like, meaning like, I'm drawn to the afterlife. I don't know why.
I think it's so cool. Pursue it. I love like trying like that you are going to a school to learn how to do this new thing.
It's just so weird and like weird and magical and powerful.
Well, I like that like later in life you can get into stuff that you've probably always been into, but kind of been maybe ashamed that you were into it or just didn't know how to get into it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like I've always wanted to be a singer, like a pop star. That's always what I wanted to do my whole life and like was not good at singing or anything. And then I just like started taking singing lessons and I'm like, and spending all my money. I like train every, I train like I'm doing stand-up comedy. Like,
that's amazing.
I'm in voice lessons like 2 hours a week and then I train outside of that and I'm like, I'm just gonna try, even though I suck still and it's so fucking hard and it's like, it's not, I look at it as like, oh, stand-up didn't come fucking naturally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had a knack for it, sure, but no one was like excited about, no one's good right away at things.
Right.
Like so few people are just talented out of the gate. Even Beyonce, like there's this book that I love called The Talent Code, and it's about how, it even talks about Beyonce in it and how we all look at her just like, she's just pure talent. It's
she
like,
works her ass.
She didn't have a childhood. She was like a Jackson 5 child in terms of how much she worked. She got those 10,000 hours in before she was 12.
Yes.
So we can't, don't think she just came out singing and dancing like that. Like, obviously she has some, you know, she was born with like good vocal cords and like, she has a gift,
but she used it.
She would not be Beyonce unless she put that work in.
100%.
That is a total thing that's like, you got to put in the work.
Yeah.
If you want to get things.
And you can be whatever you want. Like you can, you just got to fucking work. Then that's where people fail because it's like, well, it's because you didn't put in the work, not because you're not. You didn't, you know?
Well, especially in 2023, where it's so inclusive now, you really can be anything you want. I would say maybe 20 years ago, you couldn't.
Yeah.
But now you literally can.
But you have to work. And I just thought as a kid that you were either born with it or
what's my gift? Do I have one?
Like,
no?
And they kind of treat you like that. Like, I remember when you pick a musical instrument, they like make you play each of them and they kind of just watch you just like hold a clarinet and they're like, not your thing. And you're like, well, this was my dream until this guy.
They did a casting couch for instruments for you.
I wish. They made you. I totally did.
I picked the violin on my own.
Oh, really? They
I tried flute and I tried violin and then I was like, violin is for me.
We didn't get to hold the instrument. We
around to stations and like the instructor was kind of like, nah, I don't see this part. And then they were like, you have a saxophone. And so I was like, Bill Clinton-ing for a year. I was terrible at it. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That might have changed it for me. Had my mom watched The Simpsons.
I always wanted to play sax because of Lisa Simpson.
Like, that's so true.
She's so my vibe.
That did make it cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just got discouraged so much early on by people just being like, you don't have it.
Yeah.
Like this it thing. I've never had it about fucking nothing's ever come naturally to me.
Yeah.
And that's why stand-up's good is because you can't start till you're an adult.
Yes.
No one's like, you got it. Like, that's why I kind of like stand. I've just figured this out is like, if you're a singer or an actress, when you get to be 18, sorry, these kids have been doing it since if you start at 18, you're late to the game.
Yeah.
But stand up, if you start at 18, you're a baby.
You're a prodigy,
one starts
you're
that.
Matt
like,
Rife,
I started at 18. I'm so grateful that I stumbled into it and just happened to start that young because you have such an advantage because it's going to take 10 years because everything takes that long in the arts to get really good at it.
And it's one of the the best examples of the effort you put in is that what you get back. Like you can't, like if you work hard, you're going to get good guaranteed.
It's like, working. It's exactly the same as going to the gym as doing stand up. It's like the amount of time you take off, you get soft and you, but you have muscle memory. You can get it back. It's like, it's the perfect analogy for a bunch of people who don't go to the gym.
What's the longest you've ever gone without doing stand up since you started?
I mean, COVID, which was so nice. Yeah. And like that was, I loved it because it was easy to not do stand up because nothing else was happening.
Yeah, there's no FOMO.
That's what keeps me doing it.
Okay, so that's
because other people are doing it, Corinne, and I can't let other people get better when I'm sitting on my ass.
I've lost sleep over this because I had the same thing. I was like, this is perfect. The whole world shut down. I can finally take a break. I'm fucking eating carnival food in my living room. But then I realized that so many people got TikTok famous during then, and now I like beat myself up. I was like,
people were working
videos. You should have been on TikTok. You could have been TikTok famous. Yeah. This is absolutely ridiculous. And the one time you took a break, you didn't deserve it and you fucked it up, and your fear of stopping and having other people get ahead of you was realized, and it's all over. Start again.
It's not over at all, but you're right. I had the same moment of like, oh, there was something to be doing.
Oh, there was something to do.
But what it taught me was that it's like, it was compulsive. I wasn't even enjoying it anymore because I was just like, I have to get on stage because there's some other girl getting on stage tonight and she's going to eclipse me. Yeah. I wasn't worried about men. I never worry about men for so fucking reason.
Really?
But there's some other young girl who's going to take my spot in this world. And I got to, you know, I want her to be as good as possible. So good. I want her to go, but I got to keep up with her.
Yeah.
I want to compete against the best. But like,
totally. Yeah,
I'm always thinking about that. And that's what motivates me to ever go out and do stuff. But now I'm kind of like, let them catch up. You like take a fucking break. You're old enough. You've done the work. Like, to take a night off. Like, I can kind of do that now, but it's easier. That's why I live in St. Louis, is like, I don't have to go out and do stand up every night because there's no stand up to do.
Oh,
so it's given me an I don't have to do podcasts every day. If I live here or LA, I'm compulsively saying yes to things because then otherwise I'm atrophying and these people are getting stronger and I'm getting weaker. And it's just like, so just the competitive nature of it.
Does that affect, are you in a relationship at the moment? Does that affect your relationship? Like, do you come up against that, or is he in the industry?
He's kind of in the industry. He's in radio. Okay. And then he also is a TV producer. He's never had a problem with me like prioritizing doing stand up or spots. Nice. Like, it's maybe a couple times it's been like, you do it every single night. Like, and it's been like a little bit annoying, but no, he's always like kind of been inspired by my work ethic, which
that's
is
great.
Nice. Yeah. Because that's would be fucking annoyed if I dated someone that had to be out every night doing something.
Me too.
And that they didn't even enjoy. Oh. Like, a lot of times they're complaining about it.
Yeah.
Now I'm at a place where I like enjoy it, and there are some times where it's just like, oh, I said I'd do the set and I don't want to go. But it used to be I hated every single moment. And now it's like I like it because it's tough because anything you enjoy, once you monetize it, it starts to like
stress you out. It's stressful.
And when people are I liked when I was going to clubs and it was like, people were always like, ugh, these people aren't here to see me. I'm like, good.
That's good.
I get to win them over.
Yes. That's my favorite.
See, the bar is low. They don't expect anything. And now they're like, they've watched all my clips of my best moments.
Yeah.
And they're showing up expecting like, this was nothing like her roast compilations on YouTube. Or like, she's talking about suicide. Or you know, whatever it is I'm like dealing with that day.
Oh, that's right. You did say something really dark at the Improv recently and I loved it.
I'm like really going there. I plan on killing myself someday, as I think was the bit that and I don't think there's anything wrong about saying that. Like, I don't want to die of like a horrible disease. So I'll probably get one and then like kill myself because of it.
Yeah.
Like
assisted suicide.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
That's my joke is I'll get my niece to cyberbully me. Yeah. It'll be assisted.
Call me a fat gun.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
I'm talking a lot about that kind of stuff on stage. So just stuff that, I'm always looking for like, what's the next thing that like, I feel like I've said everything and it's like kind of like overshare. Yeah. All you do is talk about your pussy and anal sex and stuff. And it's like, I never talked about those things. As you guys know, I'm like preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
We're not talking about them because we're like, this will be titillating.
Yeah, right.
People will really think I'm special and I'm going to challenge people and they're going to be offended and I'm going to shock and awe that like when people seem to characterize female comics who talk about sex, like we've found some shortcut and like, it's just like a crutch, but it's just like what we're interested in.
Yeah.
And I was saying to you guys before we started the show, like, I'm just like less interested in sex in general now. And so I don't talk about it on stage as much. It's like...
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
I feel like people criticize female comedians for talking about sex so much, but then it's like, well, we talk about it also because it works and because it's what you like to hear it. And we can tell that by the immediate laughter and
that
claps
is a really good point.
When we're there. Yeah, because like I tried talking about other things and guess
y'all
what?
Y'all don't want to hear it.
I have a great bit about catch and release fishing that I'm excited about. No one else is.
Unless yeah. you relate it's a great to premise. Dating or something. Yeah. No, you're so right. I feel like it does in that way. It is more shocking. And so it does get a better response when we are willing to talk about the stuff. And women aren't the reason that it's interesting is women don't talk about sex that much. It seems like now everyone does because there's been this renaissance of like women openly talking about it. But it's interesting because they didn't forever and they still don't. Girls still go into sex not knowing what the fuck to do. They're still getting wasted because they're so nervous about it. Yeah. They don't know what to expect in there. That's why I fucking talk about it, because when I was in high school or college, I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I was so scared of sex. And I like to talk about things I'm scared of. And like, I'm really just talking to like a younger version of me, like, here's the deal, girl. It's not that bad. And actually, here's a shortcut to like enjoying this thing. And like, this is what it's going to look like in there. Like, I'm drawn to that stuff more so. But
that makes sense, though, because I think that's why part of the reason my theory that men don't like it is because we are talking about it so openly and we're now sharing tips. So it's the same as like an employer doesn't like you talking about how much you're getting paid because then you guys can gang up, you can unionize, and you can revolt against the person that's been holding you down the whole time, your oppressor. I think that's exactly what's happening.
I'm never going to talk about how much I get paid to have sex. Like, I will never.
Correct. Now, sexually, we know what we deserve, what we should get. And so now men have to deliver on that and they don't like that.
It's a really good point. And it works so well on me when guys say, it's so easy, like what you're doing. Or just like when there's just that. Just belittling you of like, oh, I wish I could talk about that, but I can't because I'm a guy. Like, you get away with talking about that. Like, just making it seem like I don't like any what's the word I'm looking for?
Criticism?
I don't like any kind of like implication that I'm taking the easy way out, that I'm doing the easy thing. That clean comedy is so much, you're so much smarter to be able to do clean comedy. It's like, no, I could.
That's just not who you are.
I've done The Tonight Show 5 times. You think they let me talk about my pussy on The Tonight Show? Yeah. I can do clean material. I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's not interesting to me.
Yeah.
But like lately I've just, my hormones changed. I went through like a summer. I didn't masturbate for like 3 months. Like I wasn't, didn't want to fuck at all. Like I was 0% into sex. Like what? Literally why? Asexual. I don't know. But I started, my hormones, I think. I just got on a supplement again and I'm like,
horny again?
Oh yeah. Wait, what is so nice? I just said to my friend, I was like, New York is horny. And she was like, I think you're taking that horny. HTP thing or whatever.
Oh, HTP.
I think that's what it's called. Okay. I could be wrong about it, but it's some supplement that I'm taking again. And I'm treating my depression. I think depression also played a part in it, but I just got it back and it felt like, but it's weird because when you lose, it's like when you lose your appetite and you're like, I don't even you get sad because you're like, oh, I'm missing out on meals and stuff. And I'm like feeling depleted nutritionally. But you're also like, but I don't crave something that I'm not craving. Yeah. Like I was like, I remember liking sex, but I don't care that it's gone because I don't want it right now. And well, it just felt so sad. Huh. And I would just say to my boyfriend, like, can you just like fuck me? And like, do I have to participate? Like, are you offended if I don't? Like, is that, can that make me hot to you in some way that if I'm just free use or something, you know,
what
like
you I put a, oh, that's like actually very popular.
It is. I'm like, can we get into that?
Yeah. I used to do that. I kind of like it too.
I know someone who's, who engages in it and like, but the problem is it's like, I feel like sometimes if you're not of a certain age or don't have a certain relationship with the person, it becomes it can be very demeaning to women if you're not kind of like on the same page about it. That's my issue with it.
You have to make sure there's equal
respect.
And I'm
also talking about a very specific scenario that I can't reveal.
Exactly.
So, but it just like bothered me. You know? Right. I don't know that like a 23-year-old girl in her first serious relationship should really be engaging in that, you know?
No.
Yeah, save
even
that
though
for
they're wet enough
40s.
For it, you know, like I'm not wet enough to be free, like all the time for a guy to just stick it in at any time. I'd be like, it's not going to go.
Yeah. Right. There was this or something. You know, something.
Yeah. But it's, I'm so glad it's back. I really thought I was like, nice.
I feel like a woman when I'm done. Horny.
Yes.
My horniness makes me feel like a feminine, divine feminine. Like, but I also use my, like with the war going on, I get so, it's so stressful and so sad and so awful. And I realize like I just masturbate all day when I'm stressed.
That's really all interesting because I think maybe that is maybe it. Like that what has spurred me to like start masturbating more is like stress. I just stress.
Yeah.
And distraction.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'll order Uber Eats and I'm like, okay, I'll jerk off. And then Uber Eats comes in. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to eat now.
Yeah.
I'm done eating. What? Okay. Can I jerk off again? I'll just keep spinning plates.
I'll time my DoorDash to when I'm done masturbating.
Yes!
Like
it's
gonna masturbating arrive. While you're waiting for food is the best.
It's That's the best. Best. So good. That's and the then move. There's sometimes like a vibe when he hands off the like that, like you could almost go like, does he know I just like jerked off?
Yeah,
like, right. Is there a fantasy where he bangs? Like, not that I'm
porn
would do
messes
that.
Me up in that. Oh, I can't imagine what it does to guys, but like when you watch too much of the same kind of porn and then you go to get a massage, you're like expecting him to touch your pussy and you're like, oh wait, wrong world.
Yes, I watch those too.
Yeah. Yep. It fucks me up because I get really turned on during massages and I'll ask for a guy masseuse now. I used to ugh, I don't want a guy touching me. And then I got into massage porn and I was like, only men.
Yeah, I like only men just for the strength of it.
Yeah.
But like too. I've had some dicks like kind of just grace my hand. Like when I'm just like laying and they just like come by like a flaccid penis rubs over and you were like, once I can get it, but I think twice or more they know what they're doing.
They're trying to knock on your door a little.
But I know what you mean. Like it is hot.
Yeah.
But I had a friend who got her like butthole fingered while she was getting a massage and she's this was so scary.
Oh.
It was she's like such a badass too. And she's someone who's like, I've seen her like fight people and like she's like scrappy and like stands up for like her friends. Like she's just someone like you don't fuck with. And it just shows you like what like how you think you would handle that situation.
Freeze.
Like I could see her being like, if before this happened, she would have been like, fuck that. You say something. She said she totally froze.
Yeah.
She didn't know what the fuck to do. She let it happen. Like, and it didn't go on more than that. It was just like a one-time little thing. But it completely did happen. She completely froze, said nothing, let the massage go on. She was so ashamed of herself for not standing up. So it's like, it was really a good example to me of like, no one knows what they do. If they get like, people are like, oh, if someone, you know, puts a gun to your head, what, like you just,
you can't answer that question.
Or if you encounter a bear, you're supposed to go, like, you just don't know what you're fucking going to do. But it turned out this is such a great ending to this. She didn't say anything. And I was like, please, you got to call the place and tell them. She's like, I don't want to see him again. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Like, I got it. You know, like I was like, okay, I'm not going to like push you to do that. But then she got a call from a lawyer that said, did you have a sexual assault
Holy
that happened
shit.
On this date? Because you are on the books and this other, a client of mine is suing this guy and you were on the same day and got a massage. Did anything happen to you? And she was like, in fact, it did. And now she got a settlement from the place and is like, got financially compensated
Whoa.
For it. So thank God. Yes.
Wow.
I know it all ended up being, you know, not good, but like it was just a, yeah.
I froze. I had that happen to me.
Really?
In Ireland. I was in Ireland and I got a massage and the guy like started touching my vagina.
No way.
And I froze.
Yeah.
I froze. And then.
Because you're naked and it's a guy.
But because I watched massage porn, I was also kind of wet and but I didn't want it to happen. And I was like, that's uncomfortable.
Oh,
but
that sucks.
Because we talk about sexual assault so often on Guys We Fucked and we have for 10 years. I already knew. I'm like, it's okay to get aroused if you're getting sexually assaulted. That's your body. Sometimes if it, like men, if they get sexually assaulted by another man, they'll have an erection and they have a lot of shame about that.
Yes.
But it's your body preparing, like, all right, if we got to do this, just fucking
do it. It's helping you get it over with.
Yeah. And so I already knew not to feel it. So luckily I didn't feel any shame about it. I understood exactly what was happening as it was happening, which was weird because you feel like you're watching a movie that you're in. But I was like, yeah, wow, froze. Totally
well, that's
froze.
Such an interesting thing, like the getting aroused while you're being molested. And I think that's like why I was just reading, because I talk about molestation on it. Like I do a big chunk about it on stage. And my boyfriend, I've been quoting some statistic about like, I was like, 1 in 10 people have been molested. And he's like, you should check that stat. And I was like, you're right. I should. Like, what am I saying? And it's like, it's so not many, that at all.
But so many people have
been
molested.
It's close. I think it's 1 in 10 women during adolescence have had a sexual assault or some kind of weird instance. And then it's 1 in 20 guys. But I'm thinking
I think
that
more
number
that.
Is more because of the gay, because it's usually a man.
Yeah.
And so it's like on top of being molested, you're also feeling like you're gay, which is another shame thing. And it's like, it sucks so much. I really just want people to be able to like talk about having been molested, like the way people talk about, you know, like, oh, my dad beat me when I was a kid. You know, like, it's still uncomfortable. It's still like something we all take seriously, but it doesn't like, it's not record scratch at a party. Like you should be able to just say like,
I
got hit by
more.
A drunk driver driving once. Like it should be like that. It's not your fault. You didn't ask for it. But for some reason, I think the reason pedophiles can continue doing what they're doing is because
it's
so shameful.
Yes.
They know people will carry that shit to the grave most likely. And if people were empowered enough to go like, yeah, I was molested, like just talk about it normally. And we didn't all go like, that was weird when he brought it up.
Yeah.
It would prevent more
molestations.
Yeah, I really 100%. Think so. But
and
it's like,
kids
it's easy for me
say.
To say, I haven't been molested, but I like, I almost wish that I had have been because I want to give an example of how, not that I think I would be able to handle it. It's almost like how I want herpes just so I can be more open about it to like give less
like, it's okay
if
but
I
no,
get herpes,
if you don't have it ain't nobody here you
no
talk,
one
want to hear you
yeah,
talk
no
about
one wants
it.
To hear that but that's why I like Joe List talking about it.
Yes,
he was the first person I ever heard.
He was so cool about it.
Oh, it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And then Andy Haynes was really conversational about having been molested. And I hope I'm not saying anything out of turn, but he said it on my podcast once. So, but I thought that was the coolest thing because I never heard anyone do that. And I was like, of course we should. In the same way that like women don't talk about having face work done unless they're with like their best girlfriends who like see the stitches and have
or
to like.
Or somebody asks and you're like, all right, fine.
And you have to own up to it. Yeah. But like everyone lies about it. But women used to lie about having their hair dyed. Like that was like
Whoa,
a thing that you would have to like,
really?
They
I guess
used
so.
To like be really ashamed. Like, no, this is my real hair
oh,
color.
Yeah,
and now
yeah,
we're
yeah.
all like, obviously I'm not blonde.
Right.
We can maybe get there with face work.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's face work though.
Kathy Griffin did
no
a lot
shame.
Of, I feel like made a lot of movement in that space. She's always
she
been extremely
did.
Open
and Joan
about
Rivers.
It.
Joan Rivers
like,
is always very.
Yeah. I know. I always love when women do that, but I get why they don't. Like I get really mad. Thank you. Sometimes I get really mad about like, J-Lo, just tell us that you've had surgery. It's not a crime that you've had surgery. You
it
look amazing.
More,
you got good surgeons. Like, it's fine.
The you damage it does to pretend you looked perfect with no effort and no actual surgery and money and
time.
And
then following all the things she tells us to do and then you don't look like her and you just think God hates me, I guess.
Yes,
that's the problem. I don't even care that they don't tell it, but it's like trying to sell me like a gummy. Like, that's going to do a whole
break.
The same work as a face.
It's not going to give
that
me a nose job, dipshit.
But I get why they don't, because I was thinking about like, Jennifer Grey, like, remember when she got a nose job?
Yes, I always talk about this. It ruined her career.
It ruined her career because people were like, that's sad. Like, you're sad. It's
gross.
Her talent wasn't in her nose.
No.
She was still as talented. She got no work after that because everyone was like, that's really embarrassing you did that. So that's why people like,
that's
I'm not
going
to name names, but that's why a lot of celebrities can't say that they've had work done because everyone goes, that's sad.
Right.
And like judges them. It's like such a shame. The Kardashians won't even fucking admit it.
Right.
They won't?
And we all know
Wait,
they
what?
Have. But if they admitted it, we'd all go, not sad. But if we speculate, we don't. It's there's something about the years. You don't like the way you look. That's sad. When everyone's trying to look different, why is
right.
it shameful?
Right.
Women, and you also go really slow. Like that's like the Lady Gaga approach. Just like slowly shave off bits of your nose.
Yeah.
And then
get
you can only tell if you
lip.
Line up the photos and you're like, huh, interesting.
I go, what do we think happened to her? Erosion? Wind? Is it
the ocean
like
kept crashing against her face?
Yeah, it's like, what? and what do we think? It's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it. I'm going to get a brow lift in like probably a year or two.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait to do it. But it's like, when do you find the time to do it? You have to go away. You have to plan a bunch of posts during that time where you're healing.
Yeah.
Or because I don't want to like dock you. I don't know. I mean, it's like, that's a move too.
Because you want to be like, it's to be effortlessly hot is always the goal. So that's why people, maybe why women don't say like, I did this. Because it's so much work. And it's so exhausting. Much work.
I don't know when these people fit it in.
I don't know.
Because they're all like, they work like the Kelly Ripas and stuff. Like you guys are on TV every fucking day. How are you burning off your face?
I'm not even that busy. I have a bunion. And I was like, it's been 10 years. I can't be off my feet for this long.
No, bunions. I have bunions on both. And you can't.
I can't. It's, what am I going to, you're a crutch comic. I just want to deal give you enough time and money to fix this bunion.
There's never going to be. You're stuck another with it COVID. Forever. And there's no like bunion separators that are going to make your bones fuse the back. They're fucked, Corinne. We're done. It's because of the goddamn high heels.
Get your bunions fixed when you retire. Spice Girls, sure, for me. Yeah, it was my solidarity with the Spice Girls.
I want to make sure we get you out of here. So we have to wrap.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
But thank you so much. Where can we get more
Island.
Of you? Yes, FBOY Island. What do you want to promote?
Please watch it. It's on Amazon, but it's on CW every Monday.
Okay, cool.
And it premieres this Monday, October 16th. I don't know when this is going to air, but it'll be on Amazon.
Okay, sweet.
And it's season 3 of FBOY Island. It's like the best show that's ever been made. And sorry, The Wire. And it's,
I love how much you love FBOY Island, honestly. Really you really
like,
love it.
I watch the show and I'm like, the show is so good. But like when I'm making it, I'm always like, oh my God, I'm annoyed at anything I do. Like I don't ever want to watch myself, but this show is actually like one that I like to watch. When I come on, I go like, get it off. But like, it's really like a compelling reality show. Plus it's funny. And then I'm on tour like all the time. So I love when people come see me on tour, please. That's the number one thing. So NikkiGlazer.com and all that stuff.
Awesome.
And my Nikki Glazer podcast. I do a podcast that I always forget to plug 2 times a week called the Nikki Glazer podcast. And every week. Yeah.
Yay. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for making the time. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Bye.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary. Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson. Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
I don't want to be a star. For what it's worth, it doesn't matter who you are. You could spend some time heavy on the line. You can change my mind, fooling people left and right. Yeah. Don't let them catch you with the backward stare. She said it happens all the time. She said it happens all the time. I wanna give you all. Change my mind. Yeah, you can change my mind. Yeah, yeah. Don't let them catch you with the eye roll, dear. She said it happens all the time. Don't let them tell you that there's no one here. And only they can do it right. Cause you can spend some time. Maybe to just
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.